The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Sheila and I have just returned from Cambria, and when you drive into Cambria, you notice there's a big sign there that says, "Welcome to Cambria," and right underneath in a different script is, "Home of Lori Boland." It just says it right at the bottom. Because they're very proud of you, evidently. And one of the things that you can do when you go to Cambria is collect lots of moonstones and pebbles and things like that. You know about my great love of the outdoors in general and just being outside. And so Sheila got a lot of pebbles and moonstones. But another neat thing they have there this time of year is a Christmas market and light show, and it is huge. It makes my neighborhood look dinky. It's acres and acres and acres of lights and light displays and, oh my goodness, vendors, you know, jewelry makers and brats and sauerkraut and just everything you can possibly imagine. Really an amazing time. And I noticed something interesting there that I think ties in at least a little bit, I hope so, with what I want to just mention this morning briefly. We went down, so there's like the first section, and then another section, and then a subsection of that section, and then another section, and then you go across the street, and there's all this other stuff. And we were leaving one little place, transitioning to another, and the last vendor on the right was a psychic reading booth. And they had crystals laid out there, and all kinds of, for lack of a better word, liturgical items, though not of the Christian faith. And it was fascinating to me because no one was going over there. No one was participating. No one wanted to have their chakras read or whatever. And so they were enticing people to come in. Hey, we're cutting the prices, so come on over. And no one was doing it, which I just thought was delightful, actually. And then you turn the corner and walk down a few steps, and the first display is of a manger scene. And it's beautiful. You've got these almost life-size figures that are internally lit and a million lights coming out of the manger. And let me tell you something. It was 10 people deep to take a picture of this. And that just made my heart sing. Because even after all these years, an event that actually happened a couple of thousand years ago is still captivating people on some sort of level. I mean, it's hard to say why they are attracted to that. There's a different vibe in Cambria, honestly, than other places I've been. It seems more open, and there are some places that I have a difficult time going because it just seems so oppressive, but Cambria is not one of those. But I don't know what the spiritual health of the place is, but at any rate, people were packed to see this display, and it was a beautiful thing. But then I got to thinking about this phrase from Simone Weil, W-E-I-L. Y'all write this down. Simone Weil said, "In order always to be relevant, you must say things that are eternal." Isn't that a lovely phrase? You think about some denominations and churches today where the press and the push and the pressure is to be relevant. We have to be relevant. We have to read the scriptures through our lens to see what they have to say to us. But Simone Weil says that in order always to be relevant, you have to say things that are eternal. And my mind goes back to that scene where everybody's lined up to take pictures of the blow mold baby Jesus. And I thought, there's something that's eternal. But there's also a danger there that I want to share with you and then look at some scripture for today. Because there's another side to Advent. There's the baby Jesus and the coming of Messiah and that for which the prophets and the ancients waited and waited and longed and longed. We're going to see some of that language today. Deep, visceral longing. There's the baby Jesus. But beloved, there's also the conquering king who's going to come again one day in power. And I thought for a minute about how the world will allow, I'm using air quotes for people listening to the podcast, the world will allow us the baby Jesus. They'll allow us that sweet little image as long as we don't put him in a public space and as long as we take him back down on the 26th. The world will allow the baby Jesus to some degree. And we can sing little songs and we can send around postcards with a lovely little baby Jesus. It's okay with the world up to a point for a while for a baby Jesus. But beloved, if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. Advent has as much to do with Jesus' second coming as it does his first. And we are waiting not only for Christmas Day, for that's when Christmas begins. And by the way, there's another countercultural thing. Waiting until the 25th to do Christmas. I could tell you stories. Last night, as an aside, we got back home. And as you know, my neighborhood can be seen from space. And we want you to come on the 17th to join us for a little informal fun. You can see the lights, bring a camera. And we came home last night, and somewhere between the time we left to go to Cambria, home of Lori Boland, to when we returned, all of my neighbors, except for me, had put up their Christmas lights. And our house looked like David Letterman's smile in the middle of everything else. There's this black place, and then everything else around us is lit up. But yeah, we still had our pumpkins out. She says, we got to get rid of the pumpkins. I said, I'm too tired. No, we have to get rid of the pumpkins. So today I'm going to scurry home and at least get part of it put up, okay? They're Advent candles, though, by the way. No blow mold baby Jesus at my house. But my neighborhood will allow that. There's one or two other folks in the neighborhood that has a creche scene, a manger scene. That's okay. But golly, you talk about Jesus any other time and place, you're going to get some weird looks, aren't you? Because the world doesn't like a grown-up Jesus. It just doesn't. The world doesn't like a bodily ascended, eternally incarnate Jesus who is our King and is on the throne, which has incredibly important implications for us in the here and now. Our eternally, as I said last week, incarnate Jesus is not sedentary and inactive, so neither should we be now. We're supposed to be doing stuff in his kingdom right now. But the world's not excited about that, and certainly not excited about a coming again king who will come in power one day, Maranatha. And I want you to listen carefully to the words of Isaiah. And I want you, if you would, in your mind's eye, to take out your palette of colors and paint this scripture. What colors do you use? Okay, maybe you don't think in terms of color. You're a wordsmith. Take out words. Several occurred to me. We looked up some definitions on the way home from Cambria, home of Lori Boland, yesterday. And so I want to mention those to you as well. Maybe it's not paint, maybe it's not words, maybe you're a dancer or a gymnast. How would you render this in some sort of creative movement? Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Some translations, tear open the curtain of heavens and come down. That the mountains would tremble before you. As when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. Oh, that you would come down. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens. Oh, God, we need you right now. Isn't it fascinating that these words written in the ancient long ago still ring true right now? And you and I are packed 10 deep to get a glimpse of this. Look at the next phrase. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, You came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard nor ear has perceived. No eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Wait for the Lord whose day is near. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. The world will let us have a baby Jesus in a manger. The world is not excited about a conquering king who rips open the curtain of heaven and comes down in power. Isaiah is saying, we remember the time when we least expected it and you showed up in power. Boy, those were the days. Why, we were minding our own business. We were prisoners even in a far-off land. And you showed up and you did mighty acts and deeds. That was then, God. This is now. We really need you bad. Oh, that you would rend the heavens. Think just a minute. It probably goes without saying. About how incredibly relevant that is right now. Because in order always to be relevant, you have to say things that are eternal. This is eternal stuff. Oh God, politics in our country are out of control. People in power are behaving horribly and sinning against you. The markets are tumultuous. World politics has us scared to death. Our families are falling apart. Oh God, at a Christmas market, there was a booth set up to read your chakra. Oh, that you would come down, that you would rip open the heavens. We need you now so badly. And the mountains would tremble. Think about when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. That is an awesome God. Earlier we read, where was that place? Yes, one of the verses on page 6 of Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Every eye shall now behold Him robed in dreadful majesty. That's one of the words I looked up. That's one of the words that occurred to me when I was reading this passage on the way home. Dreadful. When we think of the word, we think of something that is just horrible and only horrible. Full of dread. What does dread mean? Fear. Of incredible importance and weight. Heaviness. Being able to see where judgment is coming. Dreadful. Do you realize, beloved, that Advent has not only to do with Jesus' first coming as a little baby, but also His second coming as a conquering king in power? And listen, that's not going to be a Hallmark moment. We posted on Facebook that being at the Cambria Christmas Market was a lot like a Hallmark Christmas movie. Have you ever seen one of these things? It only takes one, because they're all the same. Trevor and Janet get together in the end, but she may lose the farm, but he does a concert and she, you know. And they walk through a winter wonderland sipping cocoa out of a Christmas boot cup, okay? It was exactly like that. Listen, that's a far different picture from when Jesus comes back in power. Because it's going to be dreadful. Christians, we ought to be careful what we wish for. I say often in these services, and may it be soon, and I think I really honestly believe that, but oh my goodness, you talk about setting the world upside down or right side back up again. Because His coming will be as if the heavens are ripped open and the mountains tremble. And as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil and comes down this God of ours to make known His name to His enemies, the nations will quake before Him. The prophet goes on to say, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Who can abide the day of his coming? It's going to be dreadful. I looked up the word awesome. We use that word a lot these days, or at least we used to. Awesome means completely full of awe. We say that a game of hockey was awesome, or, you know, my goodness, can you imagine? No, we can't. The coming of our Savior Jesus Christ in power. Did you know that Advent means coming? Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which was related to the Greek word parousia, which means coming. We're thinking about Jesus' coming. But also connected to that word and those words is this word, apocalypse. Did you know that Advent is connected to the word apocalypse? An apocalypse you think of the book of Revelation. And you think of the meaning of the word apocalypse, which is revealing. Listen, Advent is about the revealing of God. And today, we start a brand new Christian year on this wonderful and dreadful truth that Jesus not only came as a baby, and the world will kind of let us have that one, but he's also coming again as a conquering king in power. Oh, that you would come down. Toward the end, verse 8, yes, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure. And do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. Advent, coming, parousia, apocalypse, revealing. This Advent season, I challenge all of us to wait for the Lord whose day is near. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart. That's one challenge. Another challenge is this. Be countercultural. The rest of the world is going to have their blow mold baby Jesus until the 26th. Listen, Advent is not only about the baby Jesus coming in the long ago. But the third challenge is to remember that it's also about his future coming again in power. And beloved, we've got to get ready. We have to get ready. We have to help the world get ready. Rob was talking earlier about people around him coming to a deeper understanding of Jesus Christ and experience of him in their daily lives. That's what we're supposed to be doing in the here and now. Because there's a day that's coming that will be both awesome and dreadful all at the same time. And Advent reminds us, and this is the final challenge, to be looking ahead and waiting expectantly. The day is near. Be strong. Take heart. Look with me one more time in the first couple of verses. And I want us to meditate on them just for a moment. Ellen, would you mind going back to the piano just for a moment? I asked you earlier to think about colors or words or creative movement or some sort of language that is idiomatic to you to paint these few verses. What did you come up with? What are the colors? Red, burning fire, smoke, darkness. This particular painting that Darlene found for us is about the coming of Christ in power and glory, and there's a lot of black and a lot of red, and I see golds and yellows. What else? What other colors? White. Uh-huh. Black. Richard? Brilliant light. Any words or gestures that came to mind? Ripping open the heavens. Yeah. Now, as you look at this passage, just the first couple of verses, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. that the mountains would tremble before you. As we cry out to the Lord today, oh, that you would come down. We really need you. You read the newspaper, you see what's happening in politics and sports and the entertainment industry and world politics, and you keep thinking, oh, if you're like me, if we could just have some grown-up in charge over there, or if someone with integrity could be over here doing this. Listen, this is the gospel. Right now, this is the gospel. This is the time for the gospel right now. What an amazing, awesome, and dreadful time to be alive. Because this is exactly when we need you, oh God, to come down in power. As you look over these couple of verses, I want us to just sing a bit. That wonderful to say refrain, wait for the Lord whose day is near. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart. And I want you to be thinking and meditating on these couple of verses. And why is it that you want the Lord to come down? Do you particularly need him to show up in a big way in your life right now? How's your marriage? Does God need to come down right now and rescue you? What's your job situation? What about your finances? Are you sick? Or ill? Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. Let's pray. Oh God, that you would rip open the curtains of heaven and come down. And as best we know how, Lord, we believe that we want that to happen. Help us to be ready for your coming. And that with joy and with a sense of earnestness and anticipation, we would help get your world ready for your coming. Lord, I pray a blessing over this congregation that during Advent we would be so countercultural that the world can't help but see that we are different and that we can even be joyful in our waiting. And now mold us and make us after your will while we are waiting, yielded and still.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.